God made a light. God created the darkness. I'm listening to the song.
I'm starting to look excited. Well, not bouncing because I'm getting excited. Didn't show up excited. I'm getting excited. Well, I ain't got too excited for a while. They tell me I communicate better when I'm calm. Probably has something to do with not having a lot of any teeth. But I'm sitting here and I'm listening to the music. And a couple of things. I can't say things occur to me anymore as a born-again person, where God puts them in my head. I haven't learned to make that distinction yet. So I'm just going to say, I got something. I got that it's well with my soul. Period. Period. It's well with my soul. Then we sang that other song. And now I'm getting excited and my brain's starting to go kind of cattywampus on me. How did it go? The God of creation. It is well with my soul in the first song. But then we see our soul magnifying God. But those aren't the words. I got excited and lost my train of thought. But I told you, I didn't show up here really excited. I was kind of cast down. I told Pastor today, I want to quit everything. And just sit in the pew in the back and be quiet. I was telling the truth. But you see, it's well with my soul. But the problem is this. My spirit ain't always right. Right? It's always well with my soul, but my spirit isn't always where it ought to be. I haven't always got that cursor on the topic that I should be paying attention to. I haven't always got my mind purified for the day, for the hour, for the moment. Goodness, that's a hard one right there. Keeping your mind straight. Taking a knucklehead like me and trying to concentrate on a regular basis. It's not always easy. Heck, it's never easy. Some of y'all got it pretty easy. You know, you have youth still. Talked about that a little bit today with my pastor. You know, the other day when I preached, your pastor came up behind me. He's like, get out of the way. I was frightened. Because he has a way of lighting Ronnie Skolton up on a regular basis. Because Ronnie Skolton needs lit up on a regular basis. Because it's always well with my soul, but my spirit ain't hardly often where it ought to be. That's not the preaching, I guess, but I like that, though. You know what that is, Miss Ashley? That's transparency. Amen. That wonderful lady, she sent me an email, said, thank you for something said the other day up here. And it was a blessing to me. McVeigh can cut me if he wants, but she encouraged me. I ain't him. I'm okay with being encouraged. Courage is doing something when you're kind of afraid of it, doing it anyways, right? I was kind of afraid to come here today because I had no idea what's going on. I'm still just kind of going with God right here. But I sat home and I realized I could just say, Pete, come preach. Or Kyle, or Pastor, you know. I even asked him, I said, would you be, listen, I asked him. Said, would it be all right with you if I called you to preach? He said, yeah, of course it would, but make sure that's what God wants you to do. He never gives me a really good answer about a lot of things. I said, Pastor, what do you think I should do about this? Should I say this to so-and-so? Well, if you think that's the way God's leading you, then, Ronnie, that's what you ought to do. I wish I had that line when my kids were little. But so I sat at home today after church and I begged God, you know, let Nick forget to wake up or whatever he's doing. You know, don't let the car start. I'm serious. I'm serious as I can be. Because I don't want to stand up here and be responsible. Y'all are important. You matter. Every hair you have or don't have, God accounts for. He knows everything about it. Right? And again, if you're a born-again person, it ought to always be well with your soul. If it's not, you ought to check what's coming out of your mouth when you're saying you're born again. You ought not just run around and say you're born again because everybody else is saying it. Because the guy next to you says, I am, or your wife says she is, or your husband says he is. Right? Your children ought not say, I'm born again because I grew up in a Christian family, because my mom and dad told me that I prayed a prayer at a certain time, or because my grandma told me on a certain day you went forward to the altar. You ought to say you're born again because it is well with your soul.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
I like that pinging thing you talked about last night. Why I like that? Ping, ping, ping. I wish I had come up with that. If I say it long enough and loud enough and often enough, people think it's mine anyway. I was heavy when I came here. Huh? I was cast down a little bit when I came here. The music, though, that's what did it. So it got me going. So anyways, I'm just going to keep going a little bit with this. And God needs me to look at John chapter 13. I look at it a little bit, and I think I have an idea what's going on with this. But I'm just going to read, okay? I'm just going to start reading in John chapter 13. Then I have an idea, but I'm not set solid. Pardon me. John 13. We'll start in chapter 1. I'm sorry, verse 1. John 13, verse 1 says, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. We're in the world, obviously, and God loves us. He loves us to the end. To the end of what? To the end of everything. And to the end of the world? Yeah. To the end of time? Well, there's really no end of time, is there? To the end? There is no end for God, though. He's going to love us to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. He's the beginning and the end. Isn't that wonderful? He came from God. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? His only begotten Son. He could have stayed there. He could have said, I don't know if that's a good word to church. I don't know if that's a good word for church. That he could have said, foo-foo on you, I'm staying here. But he didn't. Amen? Even though it was a difficult thing for him to do as when he was here. We read that, today we learned that, well, Christ had a different will than the Father. Right? It's not wrong to have a different will than God. It was my will for the car to break down on the way here. It was God's will that it didn't. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. What occurs to me here is what God wrapped around himself to cover himself. His covering is what he, what? Wiped the disciples' feet with. And for whatever reason, it occurs to me that what Adam and Eve lost in the garden was the covering of God. I love this book.
Amen.
I love it when God shows things out of this book.
Amen.
Huh? He rises from supper, and wiped them with the towel where he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? I'm thinking about Pete walking around in the field, example. We need our feet washed. Then he cometh unto Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Y'all think of that? How many of y'all have actually said that to God? Huh? You know what he was saying in reality? God, you're too good to wash my feet. He wasn't saying my feet are too good for you. He's saying you're too good to wash charity. Peter was saying that God, you're too good to do this for me. I don't deserve this.
Amen.
Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. No part. Not even a part. Now, we understand that part is a whole, but now, if God doesn't wash your feet, you have no part with him. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saying to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. So it occurs to me, in my simple redneck mind, that when I stand in the world, I stand on my feet. And it's enough for God to separate me from this world by washing my feet. But not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he saith unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. I am. He declared who he is. I am. I am God. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. We've had 5 days of washing one another's feet. Right? Luke, you washed our feet. You washed our feet. We washed each other's feet. Some of us wash a little differently than others. We're all individuals, right? Timmy did a great job. I didn't do so great. You did a great job. You didn't do so great. It's a rough night. But we ought to wash one another's feet. We ought to exhort one another, reprove one another. And men, we ought to rebuke one another when necessary. I'd like to rebuke everybody from the pulpit because that'd make me look so good. But I think rebuking in private, to start with, one-on-one, is more biblical. Isn't it? If you have odds against your brother, go to him. Right?
Amen.
Now, there are times a man of God needs to be in the pulpit and rebuke. Maybe a circumstance publicly, maybe an individual publicly for a dire offense. But we ought not think we are above our station.
Amen.
Call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. I'm going to go back to that thing, being conformed to Christ. Right? We ought to be like Jesus. We ought to be allowing him to conform us into his image. We're set on that predestination path to be conformed into his image if we're born again. But we can fight that. It can be one with our soul. And we can fight that conforming with our spirit. Okay? However that is your problem is different than how it is her problem. It's how it is that it is my problem. But don't forget, the man that called down fire from heaven, the Bible says he was given a like passions as all men. Don't think you're above somebody just because you're different than somebody. The problem is, huh? What you're thinking. The devil wants to get up inside your thoughts.
Amen.
God wants to get in your heart. The devil wants to get in your head. Because if he gets in your head, he'll keep you from letting God get in your heart. Okay? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Are you called a man of God to preach? You're sent. All right? We have the perfect, complete, preserved, inerrant. Anything good you got to say, word of God. You can't say enough good about it. I don't know about all that nonsense I read about in these discussion groups about double information and blah, 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 blah. This is the perfect, inspired word of God. Like it or lump it. It's pretty simple. I wish you all were simple, redneck-thinking people like me. Pastor says, I don't do well enough explaining things to folks. I'm like, I ain't too smart at all. How I gotta explain stuff to y'all? That's what I think. And that's not being puffed up. Pastor called that deceptive pride or something like. Basically told me it was prideful to think that. You know, man, he doesn't give me a break ever. I got up one night and testified about a wonderful church we had. He gave me a hard time for it. He did. But he was right, because it was an appropriate place where I did that. I'm going to back up, but I'm going to read this again with that thought about our pastor of mine. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. God knows I needed him. He sent him for me. Y'all get to have him a little bit too. Right? But he sent him for me. God sent me a man. Travel an hour and a half. Come and get me. And I started coming out to Black Creek Church. My wife called him that cult pastor of yours. You love that cult pastor of yours more than you love me. I want you to do this, and you just want to go out to the Black Creek Church. I said, well, yeah, you know. Wait, I go to any church. I went to lots of churches. And it wasn't that it was a certain church. It was a servant sent from God.
Amen.
And it was a servant sent to serve me. Okay? Right? And in the fullness of God's timing, now I've become a servant.
Amen.
Matter of fact, when I was at that point where I had been born again in the pew, I was like a deer in the headlights. I'm like, you know, I didn't say nothing for a while. And I was praying one day on the floor in front of my washing machine. And what God gave me was, inside my heart, he said, you are now my servant. I got excited. I got excited.
Yeah.
Right? I got excited. But neither he that is sent greater he than sent him. 17. If you know these things, happy are you if ye do them. Okay? Again, not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Hearers of Jesus Christ and doers of Jesus Christ. We see him in the Bible. He shows us where we're lacking. We beg him to change us, and we proceed in his strength to be like him, to be a servant. Let's see, 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. Very important. Everything about Jesus Christ fulfilled the scripture. He died according to the scripture, right? That's where the power is. Everything about Jesus Christ ever written in the scripture has been fulfilled, was at that point in time fulfilled. And what's left to be fulfilled will
Amen.
Be fulfilled.
Amen.
I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, you may believe it, that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I sendeth receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So God sent Christ. Right? These men received him. But again, we are sent. Okay? Now, I could jump into Jude here real quick about men who aren't sent. The book of Jude, that fires me up. If you knew a little bit about my past, you'd understand that. But listen, God sent me a man. God brought me to the end of myself where I reached out and God sent me a man. Right? God doesn't force men on people just like God doesn't force himself on people. Okay? Now I'll get back to my thought. All right? He that receiveth whomever I send receiveth me. Why is that? Because a foolish preacher should be up there representing Jesus Christ. And you ought to receive that. That's why I didn't want to show up here tonight. I wasn't sure God was with me. My spirit was messed up. You can't leave me or forsake me, though. I sure can't try to run around the building and hide around from him, though. Coming under the bushes. Or I can't get under a car no more without jack stands. But I like to hide from God. You like to hide from God? Yeah, of course you do. Because God exposes us for what we are. Receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Jesus said what? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? No man can come unto the Father except what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Amen. You receive Christ, you receive he whom sent him, and that is the Father. What an amazing way God chose to do things. To men. Right? Amen. If I sat and just flip-flop for the Bible for 5 hours, I wouldn't begin to understand why would God send man? Right? Why didn't he just stay here himself and do it all on his own? Well, even when he was here, people rejected him. Right? So that wouldn't have fixed the problem. No, because the problem isn't who God sends. It's the people who are listening to who God sends. It's the not receiving that's the problem. Right. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. Ah, the Savior. He could be troubled in his spirit. And testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now, when I get troubled in spirit, that's not the reason, except that I probably have betrayed him, and that's why I'm troubled in spirit. But you see, it's not because I know it's going to happen, but because it's already happened. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Jesus knows ahead of time what was going to happen. Now, knowing myself, I can pretty much say, I'm going to mess up on the way home. Right? I reckon that should trouble me, but it really doesn't. It really doesn't. Because right now I'm feeling super spiritual. It'll carry me over for a couple of hours on the way home. Isn't God good? I can start with a, ain't you glad to start hacking? I'm going to try that one day at home in front of a mirror just for fun to see how it works out. Ain't you glad? Yeah? But I reckon without teeth that looks really, really funny. Anyway, so I'm going to pause here just for a minute because I have liberty to do that as the moderator. Because when Jesus said this, he was troubled, and he testified. So for whatever reason, I'm going to take a moment and say, is there anybody here who would like to testify? Anybody? Man of God? What, Tim? Yes, sir?
So I would testify. Just the other day, we were driving in from a different road, coming this way down the road, and of course the church, instead of taking Church Street, and we came in that way, and I realized that I used to get picked up on the bus down the road when I would stay at my cousin Pete's house. And my sister would drive John Mark, Sam, and I down the road, and she'd drop us off right there, and the bus would pick us up right down the road and take us to Cuba Rushford. And I remember that being a time of my life of such darkness and sin that had a grip on me, and I was very young. I was very young. And sin had already had such a grip on my life, and it was so dark that I remember sitting on that very cold bus getting picked up right down the road there. And I remember sin having such a grip on me and my life being so dark and thinking awful suicidal thoughts. I remember thinking how dark my life was. And I did not even consider. I would not consider God even then. But now I look back and I look at that dark time, and all I can do is rejoice, because I know right down the road I'm sitting in the house of God. And God's changed everything.
Amen. I like it. Anybody else like that? You like it?
Amen.
Who changed it? God. Tim. No. God changed it all. Oh, I like being up here being the moderator. How'd you say that, Pastor? Starting Ann Jones, right?
Yeah.
Right? No. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, as we were singing the songs earlier, like singing It As Well, the thought came to my mind of what I used to think when people would talk about, I can't wait for God to come back and everything. I'm like, as a lost person, I used to think, that's such a selfish thought. I'm lost. He came back now, I'd go to hell.
Mm.
But you know what? It is well with my soul now.
Amen.
And I can't wait for him to come back.
Amen. I like it.
And I understand there will be people that will go to hell, but to be with Jesus,
amen,
be a wonderful thing.
Glory to God for it.
Amen.
That's
amen.
Absolutely it. To be with Jesus is a wonderful thing. Yeah. Do we have anybody else? You're dying right there. I know you're popping.
You're talking to me.
I am. I just see it just oozing out of you, yeah? Huh?
Whenever you were reading.
Stand up.
Whenever you were reading about Jesus taking a towel and girding himself and washing his disciples' feet, a couple of months ago I was looking into some things about water and all kinds of different things, and I don't even remember, I didn't really settle it, it just kept going and going, but that verse made me think about Ephesians 5:6, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And you talked the other night about how Jesus Christ is the word made flesh. And I just thought about how the word, he literally washed his disciples' feet with the word of God.
Amen. That's it. That's good.
And I too kind of, that heaviness and just, I wasn't real heavy, I just wasn't excited. Like you said when we got here, but when we were singing, and that verse of that song, hold on, I'm going to look that up real quick, too.
Amen. We've got until Jesus comes.
In verse 3 of How Great Thou Art, it says, when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Mm.
And Stephen startled me because I was so, like, I was just so lost in thought in that verse. Like, it was just like I was thinking about the words very carefully, and I was thinking about Isaiah chapter 53. And then he started shouting, and I was like, oh, we're still in church. it's good to be saved. And thank you.
Amen. It's good to be saved. Amen. Anybody else? It's not a forever hold your peace kind of thing. But if then nobody else has anything to say, I'm going to go on. I'm going to change gears a little bit. Flip your Bible over to Philippians and go to chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Says this, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's well with your soul. I want to point something out here though. There's a few things that I guess they call them hobby horses sometimes, you know. Mine is that the devil always impersonates Christ. That's one of them, right? There's a lot of people running around with false peace. Okay? You can talk yourself into having some peace because you got that boat you wanted. You got $10,000 in the bank in case you lose your job. Your car is paid off. You have all the tax money you need. Your refrigerator is full and your freezer is packed. You want to know something that I like to say though? God can't fill your cupboards if they ain't empty. Yeah. Do you have peace when your cupboards are empty? Passive understanding. ETH. It started, continues, and it's never going to end. You're never going to come to a place as a born-again person where you understand that. For eternity. You're never going to understand that complete peace. You'll have it. But to explain it to somebody else, I say, Stephen, you know that peace we've been talking about for 13 quadrillion years? He goes, yeah. As I explain it to me, I'll go, I don't know. Right? But it's well with my soul because I have that peace that passes understanding. I mentioned Jude, the book of Jude earlier. And the reason Jude is so applicable to me, and I need to be really easy in the way I explain this, Pastor. So give me a moment to get a good thought here. The reason Jude is so applicable to me is because I spent time learning things from men who weren't servants sent by God. Okay? And I used to get very angry about that. I'm angry at those men. And I ought not be angry at those men. Okay? Because they're hostages. They're hostages to deception. They have a false peace. They've drummed it up within themselves. You see? You can do it. What we say with your heck, the government can give you peace. Did you know you can have peace as a prisoner in a jail cell? You got food every day. You got clothes every day. Somebody else is doing your laundry. Somebody else is providing all the cleaning supplies. Now, whether you use them or not, that's it. Generally, though, people in jail like to clean stuff up because they're afraid of getting sick. But that peace doesn't come from Jesus Christ. Okay? So Jude would get me upset. No. I would get upset. I would choose to get upset. Yeah. It didn't upset me. I chose to get upset. Because I looked at these men and I blamed them for my condition. All along I had this book though.
That's right. Amen.
My spirit was wrong.
Yeah. Fine.
Right? But God sent me a servant to make me a servant. Amen. To help other people learn to be servants. Let that not be our goal, to be like Christ.
Amen.
To be a servant.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So where does that peace come from? Where does a peace that passeth understanding come from? It comes from Jesus. Well, yeah. Of course it comes from Christ. I am going to go to Jude for a second. Turn to Jude. Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's where your peace comes from. That faith that's delivered to you. Right? So here I am getting angry at men that have drummed up faith inside themselves. Because that's what they were taught to do. That probably in Bible college. So I'm so glad I got kicked out of Bible college. I say that humorously and 100% seriously, though. But that's where the peace of Christ comes from that passeth understanding. It comes from Him. And to avoid getting all up into a depth of things that would take weeks to straighten out or to lay a foundation for, Jesus Christ had complete faith in the prophecy of the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay? Is that simple enough? Without getting over that hurdle. Okay? Christ knew what would befall Him when He came here. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's God, come from God. He had absolute faith that what the Psalms prophesied about Him would come true.
Amen.
I did it without doing it. That's his faith. He had faith in His Word. Because he had faith in what the Father would do according to the Word of God, we can have peace that passeth understanding. It can start right now and never end. It has to start, though, in order to never end. It's an everlasting, not an eternal. Now, Christ has it. He had eternal peace, obviously. Eternity from... I can imagine a house being built out of a super material and it never wears out. I can try to imagine that, okay? But I can't imagine a house that was never built, that's always been there. That's the faith of Jesus Christ, though. It didn't have a beginning because He's the eternal God. But I can understand, even logically, that He can give that to somebody and then you can have it forever. I can logically, just with my little old redneck pea brain, process it. He can give you peace that never comes to an end. And it can always be well with our soul. Anybody want to testify? No, I was hoping for a break. You know, sir.
I've been back and forth because it's there's been a lot of oppression in the family, the city, and adult chicken pox, or they call it shingles, the technical term is shingles. It's like, she's the glue of the family. She holds it all together. And struggling with her not being 100%. And work and preaching and learning to be a father, and just not sure where where those blessings of God were, where. Where God was, and then Lily took her second road test, and they flunked her. You know, I don't do well with failure, so trying to teach somebody how to deal with it is a struggle. the next day they gave Billy Edmund an interview at Bonaventure, and that was the other thing that was up in the air. Where how what's she's graduated high school? Where's she going next? And God just answered it through a miraculous way. And, I'm just thankful that he takes care of the spiritual and the material.
That's it. Good. Church is a great place to talk about the things that are going on in your life. On every level. I don't want all your dirty laundry though. Don't be getting up in the church and putting all your dirty laundry out there for people. I don't want to know about that neither does anybody else. Okay, just throwing that out there. Yeah? Because I've heard that nonsense before too. You don't need Facebook for that. People do it right from their pews. Come on. Prayers. How about it, huh? I'm going to tell the folks that are in church here that don't go to Black Creek Baptist Church a shame of mine. We had an all-night prayer meeting or a long-night prayer meeting. Don't know whichever one it was, but it's supposed to be for a long time. I left after an hour. Our first break at an hour, I got up and left. The moderator said, what you need to do is take this first hour and clear your head. Get your mind on the things of God and get a hold of God so that we can have a prayer meeting. I couldn't do it. The pain in my body was astonishing. And I got angry at God over that. And I got up and I left. That's my shame. I'm confessing the shame to you. Maybe that'll help you. Maybe it'll help you. Everybody here has shame. We know that Christ bore our shame, right? He became our shame. I don't know how old I was. Before it dawned on me that the pictures we see of Christ, first of all, you know, aren't even close to what that was like, but he's covered up. He's girded. No, he hung there in his shame. Right? He was naked. I was in my 40s before I dawned on him. I think I was even born again after that time on that moon. Huh? Well, he had to be. You know why? Because Adam and Eve became ashamed when their eyes were open and they realized they were naked. So we had to go all the way back to the very beginning of sin, right? Is there anybody else who might have a word of exhortation? Yes, ma'am.
So we went to Sue, and when I was here, when I was 6 or 7 years old, it wasn't as crowded as it is now. And I'm so sorry, I forget names, but many faces I remember. that's what I was saying. I was thinking about it. Hang on. So I've been to different churches. I've been to Protestant, Catholic for years, and here for years. And what I see is the Bible, everyone should work to read it on their own and have their own take and view on it. And I think that this is the best place for me because we're all sharing how we view it. I wouldn't say that I'm born again or saved, but a lot of the times I'll catch myself making a mistake. And I don't go to church often, but when I do, whoever is preaching will bring up something or a passage, and it would be something that I made a mistake about, and I would fix it.
Amen.
So I've always had a hard time believing in God. But there are ways that I can't ignore that he just shows that it's
good. Good. Well said. That was wonderful. Amen.
You know, Brother Ronnie, you had just said about that thing. You sat in that prayer meeting and tried to pray. I found myself for quite a length of time now unable to pray as I found it of quite ease to do in time past. Where in time of prayer, I could be beside myself with the joy of God and the reality of the scriptures in my thoughts as I prayed. And in a time of prayer such as that, it is wonderful, and hours pass you, and it is nothing to pray for hours in such a condition. Yet I have gone now weeks without just never finding that time, never finding that place with God and the joy of God, yet going on in life and wondering where is the error, what is going on. And tonight as we came in here one more time, I rested in between services. And as we were singing out on those hymns, and I was thinking about, ought I not to rejoice at these things that God has done?
Right.
What is the difference between someone who is rejoicing in the truth of what God has done and the truth of what God is doing, and the difference between someone who is not rejoicing in the truth of God? There is a choice there to believe these things. And if I believe them, I ought also to rejoice. And immediately I was thinking that the verse about he had given us this the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Mm.
And therefore I did rejoice.
Amen.
And God took away that spirit of heaviness from me at that moment. And it's a joy to me to be able to rejoice and to thank God and to praise Him audibly for what God has done. And rejoice at the goodness of the salvation of God and that He has died for my sin and that He's paid for it. And to rejoice at that and God doing what He ever does. To make that joy come on the inward parts, to give peace on the inward parts, and to make it a wonderful thing. And then you just said that thing about prayer, and I just couldn't believe that you'd said that.
Amen. It's kind of like what it was for me, too. When the music started, it started to bubble a little bit inside, kind of percolate a little bit. Yeah.
Joe, you're a troublemaker.
Some of y'all don't know what a percolator is. That's how you can get real coffee. It's got to percolate. But I thought of something while you were talking, young man, or young lady, and maybe it just applies to me, but we're talking about faith and peace, and our souls being content, and well with our souls, and passing understanding. And so I thought I'd read Hebrews 11:6. One of those pretty commonly known verses. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Right.
Without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Amen.
So we ought to what? Diligently contend for that faith.
Amen.
So that we might help other men please God. We're going to preach the Word of God to them. Share the Word of God, ladies. You know how to preach it. You know better than that anyways. Probably. Chelsea has a little bit of difficulty with it, but, you know, we give her a pass because she's a Skolten transplant. You know, she started out with a disadvantage. Well, my fault. It's my fault. Could there have been a better father? You would have been a better husband. You should have helped my wife to flourish. She would have saved me a lot of problems. Would have saved my family a lot of problems. Right? But somehow God decided to put Bob, leader of the Bible, up here with the King James Bible. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Are you pleasing God?
Your faith doesn't please God.
What you drum up on the inside of you doesn't please God. It's the faith that's once delivered to the saints. He was delivered up. Right? Psalm tells us that. Again, we won't go there, but he was delivered up. He was delivered.
Amen.
Yeah? And it pleased God to deliver him. It's the faith of God that pleases God. It's all about God.
Yeah, all about.
And he's so good to us. He just says, here you go. And we go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus.
Amen. How do any of y'all know or had any interaction with a person who has a hard time accepting help from you? I have. That's pride. The Bible does teach it's better to give than to receive. But the reason we won't receive help even on, let me give you some gas money. Let me give you a carton of eggs. I like honey, by the way. The reason you have a hard time accepting that help is your pride.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it for myself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why is it better to give? Because love gives, and God is love. For God so loved the world that He gave. So it's always better to give. When we give, we're being like God. But God says, here, let me give you not just God doesn't want to, he doesn't want to say, have a bottle of water. He says, let me give you the oceans. Let me give you the great deep that no man's laid eyes on. Right? And we go, I pay my water bill. I'll just turn the spigot on at home. or you got that one where I'll just go out in the great outdoors in the God's big cathedral and we'll have church while we're hunting and fishing. You know, amen. I don't want to draw things out. I think it would have been appropriate if I were to continue to try to draw things out. But I do want to give anybody else an opportunity, if you have anything to say it now. Anyway, Karen, you can speak.
No? Finally, I'm going to go ahead and speak, and I'll say this, probably close it out. I am your worst critic, all right? And I could not have any greater joy than to watch tonight, comfortable with Scripture, comfortable with your God,
amen,
being yourself, let the holiness of God speak to you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, preacher.
I ask for nothing more than those men that are called priests and my ministry, that they be wallowing the Scripture at home and then come to church, just be comfortable with it, be themselves. Your personality, you're the holiness of God. And by the way, that statement, flowing my soul, troubling my spirit. I've never heard anybody say that. That's better than the pink thing.
Pastor said I did better than Tim. Are you done preaching? All right. Let's pray and we'll close it out, okay? Father, I do want to thank you for the opportunity that we've had these past few days to meet here, God. And I do believe it's been your pleasure to show up and walk among us and to deal with us, God, and to minister to us. And God, I just want to thank you for caring enough to give us the word. God, I want to thank you for caring enough for loving us and coming to us. I want to thank you, God, for teaching us. And Lord, I'll just be with us now as we close this meeting up. Keep us safe as we go home. Bring us back together again at your appointed time. And in your liberty, in the name of Christ, amen.